Welcome to the Aaron Bender Podcast. On this episode, Casey Montoya.
Being a journalist and doing stories for so many years and seeing what's going on in our animal shelters, animals are ending up there. They're unwanted. There's too many of them. And they're dying for no reason other than space. And because people continue to buy dogs from breeders.
Everyone has a story. I get them to tell it. Welcome to the Aaron Bender Podcast. Conversations with media personalities about their personal and professional lives and journeys. Before we get to my conversation with Casey Montoya, a little about my story. I'm a widowed dad of two girls who just lost their mom. A grieving husband. A man in recovery trying to reconnect with the world with fresh eyes, faith, and perspective. A college journalism professor. A white guy in a world of injustice. A 20-year broadcast media veteran who had his dream job and then lost it. Nearly 2 years ago, God gave me a gift, an opportunity to stop, step back, and breathe so I could learn about love, vulnerability, forgiveness, grace, self-care, patience, and understanding. Casey Montoya is a reporter and does the weather at KTLA in Los Angeles. She has crisscrossed the country in pursuit of this dream job in Southern California, and she's used her celebrity, even though she won't call herself a celebrity, she's used her celebrity to start a nonprofit that pays for spaying and neutering pets. And they have their first ever golf tournament coming up, and I'm playing in it. We're going to start off right away with your 501c3 Fixin' Fidos. It's one thing to like promote adopt, don't shop. It's another to like go get a rescue or two or three or be like a foster mom for any number of pets. But at what point do you make the decision, and this was in 2017, I'm going to not only do more, but I'm going to start my own 501c3 to help control the pet population? A la Bob Barker. Oh, I made it through that whole intro. I made it through the whole thing, and then I screwed up the name of Bob Barker.
Does that mean you're going to start over?
No, I won't start over. We just leave it all in. It's raw, real, and ready.
I guess I decided to do it when I had a momentary lapse of insanity. As it turns out, it's a lot harder than I ever would have thought, but being a journalist and doing stories for so many years and seeing what's going on in our animal shelters, animals are ending up there. They're unwanted. There's too many of them. And they're dying for no reason other than space. And because people continue to buy dogs from breeders. So I decided I need to do something about it. The only solution is spay and neuter. It's not sexy. You know, it's not a sexy topic to talk about. But I thought, let's try and just talk about it anyway. So we started paying for spay and neuter. I don't do income verification. But typically, it's low-income people reaching out. But it just breaks your heart to walk through a shelter and see so many unwanted animals who all they want in life is love. That's it.
How long was that idea kind of kicking around a little bit? And you say momentary lapse of sanity. It can't be all that momentary because you've got so many steps and so many hoops to jump through and hurdles to jump over.
And lots of legal ones too. Yeah, it's not easy to start a nonprofit, but I do encourage people to do it and do it by the book. I mean, I guess I've been thinking about it for a few years. Like, what can I do? I thought, well, it's going to be too much work for me to do it. So let's just jump on board someone who's already up and running, a cause I believe in. So I started trying to work with Spay for LA. And I started working with other organizations, but I kind of have a control problem. And I just wanted to be able to do more. And now I am doing more.
you say that. If anybody's watching on the YouTube or IGTV, the look on your face is like, it is so much more.
What? I'm planning a golf tournament right now. So this is a funny story. For those who know what I do, every month I would do some kind of fundraiser. We would raise anywhere from $1,000 in one day up to $2,500. So it's definitely worth it. But I was doing these all the time. Yeah. And at an event at Mike Sorrell Fitness in Whittier, one of my friends, he hosts events for me all the time where his members come take a class and I get the money. A guy, Troy Silva, walked up to me and he handed me a cash donation. He had supplied some food for the event. And he said, you know, you really should do a golf tournament. You know, I think you could really do it. And I thought, huh. And, you know, he kind of made it sound like it'd be easy and he'd help. And here we are months later, him and his wife and Mike are my planning team. We meet all the time. If it wasn't for these people, this would not be happening. And they just, it's all volunteer work. Nobody's getting paid. But it's starting to come together. I know you are playing in a foursome.
Yes.
And we he had a donor reach out who can't make it, but wanted to help. And so he offered to let me put foursomes on sale. Like anyone who buys one right now for $1,000, he'll pay the difference.
I love that.
So that's the way we can get more golfers in. And it just, the swag bags are awesome. The event's going to be awesome. Lynette Romero from KTLA is emceeing. Jim Lanahan, who's the biggest KTLA viewer of all time.
KTLA super fan.
Yeah, it's so great. So many people have helped. I'm kind of touched at how many people want to help.
So it's October 17th. We'll put all this in the description and the show notes. October 17th in the City of Industry.
Are you a golfer?
I've been golfing since April. All right.
Oh, that's nice.
I just got a new set of clubs from Styx. I don't know if you ever watch Instagram and you see their ads. They totally sucked me in. And and I love the clubs, but the golf, I have been bitten so hard by the golf bug. You have no idea. I mean, I'm signing up for a golf tournament. That's how, you know, after just, you know, 5 or 6 months of playing. How difficult, compare the difficulties of starting a 501c3 or planning and executing this golf tournament. Which was more difficult?
The 501c3 was way easier. You have no idea. No idea what all the little intricacies of this. It's crazy. And everything has to be donated because I can't afford to pay a photographer. I can't afford to pay for anything. So we are paying for some items from the swag bags, but you know, that's how we're making our money back. I'm not really going to make money until it comes to the day of. So we'll upsell you guys when you come in.
great.
You know, extra things. And then the auction items.
Yeah, so you got auction items. That's going to be fun.
That's how we'll make the money. But it's a lot of work. I think it will be easier next year. And I'm already saying next year. So obviously I see the benefit of doing this, but I'm super excited. Christina Pascucci, I know you've had her on here before too.
Scoot. She has volunteered
to do anything. She says she'll come help in any way. So I would actually like to brainstorm with you. What can I do with her on the golf course to help raise money?
Oh gosh. Oh my goodness. Wow. That, I mean, put me on the spot here.
You can let this marinate and think about it.
I mean, does she golf?
No, but she can do any. It's Scoot. Okay. She can do any.
She could. I wonder. I mean, the liability might be tough, but maybe taking, because she's a pilot, you know, maybe auction off flying with Christina Pascucci.
Oh, that's good.
That would be cool.
Like, drive a beer cart or something, but you took it to the next.
why stop at the beer cart? She's a licensed pilot. Send them up 10,000 feet.
Wow. I would say you have to sign some kind of release of all liability.
Yes, there's that. Yeah, there's that. Not to mention it's a Fix and Fido's event. I don't even know what the liability insurance on something like that would cost. So maybe the beer cart. Just the beer cart.
Beer cart it is. But what we're also doing is, so I know a lot of people want to support, but they don't necessarily golf. So before golf starts at 9:30, by the way, let's talk about this first. Is 9:30 shotgun start, is that time okay with you?
Oh yeah, I think so. Especially for a tournament like this, you're giving people plenty of time to get there. We usually like to golf around sunrise.
A little later. So well, what we're doing is before golf starts at 7:30 a.m., we're having a dog parade, which is basically a dog walk around the course with a costume contest because it's close to Halloween. And the sheriff and his wife have agreed to judge the costume.
See, yeah. Now, this is the thing. Like, if you have like some sort of corporate golf tournament or something like that, I don't think you get perks like this. But being in LA news as long as you've been, you make a lot of friends that a lot of people know, and you know, it's not like you have to pay all these appearance fees that otherwise you might have to if you're asking a Christina Pascucci or a Casey Montoya to show up to your golf tournament.
I don't think I could ever charge. That's the thing, is I don't think of myself as that. I would never charge someone to show up at an event. Like, that's ridiculous. I wouldn't show up at an event unless I believed in the cause. So for starters, that's just strange. People have reached out. I guess some of my PR friends in the business have tried to get me celebrities And their reps have reached out, like asking what I can offer them. And I'm like, look, no offense, but this is not a celebrity tournament. This is a girl who works at a TV station trying to help people keep their pets in their houses and stop animals from dying. I don't care what band your client was in, you know, nothing against them, but it's not, it's just funny how they reach out and they want something right away. I'm like, I'm a nonprofit. I can't, what can I do?
How many...
Wrong tournament.
How far back? Because you've worked in Palm Springs, obviously here in LA since, what, 2013, I think? You're coming up on 10 years at KTLA. You've worked in Palm Springs, in Oregon, and West Virginia. So when can you trace back? Because the animal segments on a lot of these morning shows, especially Palm Springs. Okay.
I was the morning anchor there with Dan Ball, and we had, you know, the weekly adoptable pet segment.
Yep. That's when they get you.
A long time, we had 100% adoption rate. Every time an animal would come in, they would get adopted. And I started doing work with a nonprofit there and helping out as much as I could and just seeing, kind of getting behind the whole charity world. And it is a lot of work, but people do this as full-time jobs. And a lot of people just want to go to these events because the reality is most people want to help. They just don't know how. And so I like to give them a way to help, whether it's, are you into yoga? I'll have a charity yoga class. You want food? We'll have a charity dinner. You want beer? A brewery will donate. I will find a way for you to help because people don't want to put in the effort that I'm putting in. And that's completely understandable. So I'm going to find a way for everyone to be able to help. So that's another thing that we're doing. Dog walk in the morning if you don't golf. And then after, so I like to eat.
And you're feeding us all day, right?
I'm feeding. Oh yeah. You get three meals. And the dinner, I'm spending extra money on that because they wanted me to choose just two entrees. And I can't do that to people. I don't eat meat, but I know everyone else does. So there's going to be different choices that come along. You know, I'm going to give you guys some good stuff for the day.
It'll be fun. But I honestly, this is the first tournament that I've, you know, just as a guest, this is my first tournament. I have played in one before, but it was with the Tim Conway Jr. show when we were doing a remote down at Camp Pendleton. So, but this will be the first one where I'm like, hey, I'm ready. Let's go.
Yeah. And you get your swag bags with all the cool gear, and it's going to be a lot of fun. But I think that the golfers will kind of start wrapping up around 3:30. So that's when they kind of filter in. I changed it to an outdoor venue to eat dinner because a lot of people had expressed concerns about COVID, maybe staying indoors, made people uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But they had a great space that was still available. So we're eating on this amazing outdoor. It's super swanky. And all that's going to start around 3:30. So I figure the golfers start coming in. People start showing up around 3:30 for the silent auction. I make everyone sit down for dinner at 4:30. We do a live auction with Jim Lanahan. And then people are gone by 6 p.m. So then you can still get home at a reasonable hour and go to work.
I'm telling you right now, we're not going to be gone by 6. we're not going to be gone by 6. No, we're...
Tissues and sweats on by 6 cleaning up. How's that?
Okay, perfect. Perfect. Yeah, we'll join the cleaning crew. So, born in Orange County, but raised in Dallas. Tell me about that move. Do you remember any Orange County time before Dallas?
I do a little bit.
How were you with that move? Were you cool with that?
I mean, when you're a kid, you have no choice.
Well, I know that, but that still doesn't mean you can't have your own opinion and you can't think back. You're like, you know what? I really liked OC. I don't know why you had to move to Dallas.
I don't know. I actually don't remember if I liked it or not, but my family, we ended up in Texas near more family. And so I'm sure I was fine with that, but not like the good part of Orange County. My family's not rich by any means, but I like California. I always wanted to get back to California. I remember coming back for college out, and I don't know if I've told you this before because we both went to CSUN. I was such a brat at that point in my life when I was in college. Sally Turner, all these teachers would tell me, you're going to have to go to small markets and work your way back to LA. And I was like, I'm not, I'm just going to get a job here. Like, yes, someone smacked me in the face of reality at some point. I don't know what I was just, you think back to points in your life and I think who the heck did I think I was?
Yeah.
That I actually thought I was going to defy this system that we've all had to do in this business. And sure enough, those teachers were all right. And I went to West Virginia and I went to Palm Springs and Portland, Oregon before I got back here. But I would not trade a minute of any of that.
Here's the thing, though. Like if somebody wanted to go just straight local news and then work their way back, or in LA, then yes, I would still advise them to go to small markets and work their way back here. But
make your mistakes in the small market,
yes,
not LA.
But now, if you want to, if you don't want to be that traditional local news reporter, and maybe you want to just cover entertainment, cover sports, and you have outlets now. You have YouTube, you have podcasts, you have Instagram.
The TikTok.
Yeah, you have the talk. You know, you have those outlets now that I think, as you and I were going to school, if those were available to us and we didn't want to go that local news route, I think that could have very well been an option.
You know, I'm just, as I say to my friends all the time, I'm so glad I didn't have the iPhone and the iPad when I was in school, even in high school, even in college, because I know I wouldn't have gotten as good of an education. I wouldn't have studied as much. I mean, I was a very good student, and the temptation of all of this outside distraction wasn't there. And to now to see these kids being able to just pull open an iPad, like I'm talking to you now, make a tape and become Insta famous. It's just, it blows my mind. And a lot of times people are confusing on air, people you see on TV with journalists. Now keep in mind that just because someone is a host of something doesn't mean they have gone to journalism school and have ethics or morals in some case.
Just,
it's hard to try and teach people that, to understand the difference. And it, you know, gets into the whole topic of fake news. And I don't necessarily think that that's a bad thing. I think it's drawing attention to the fact that there is a lot of stuff out there that's not verified. And as journalists, like, that sucks.
You said you wanted to get back to California. Why Cal State Northridge? And, you know, because there are a lot.
Before I got in.
Hey, whatever works. It got you. It got you out. It got you back.
But they have a good journalism department.
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
I mean, Lincoln. I mean, it was excellent. I learned more than I ever wanted to know about journalism. We had great teachers. I learned. It's just the way they break it down. I don't know if they still do it the way they did when I was there, but how they break it down and give you a chance to do every job, like directing, producing, editing. You don't know what exactly you want to do.
It's all still on the table. Yeah.
I think that's amazing. I think anyone who's even thinking about going into that field should go. Nothing against USC and all these expensive schools, but why not go try Cal State when you're not going to, I don't have any student loans and student debt to pay off.
Tell me about the culture shock moving. Obviously, that time in Orange County, you've got Dallas, you come back to the Valley here, and then West Virginia. Tell me about the culture shock going to West Virginia.
I mean, my address, I lived on rural route, two or 200, I don't remember what it was. No street signs. I lived in Oak Hill, West Virginia, and I first rented an apartment. I think my rent was like less than $300. Yeah. So if that tells you anything about what part of the country I was in. First time I had ever driven in snow. Had to buy a Ford Explorer with four-wheel drive, and going to work being the morning anchor, you used that four-wheel drive. It was terrifying. And I did it, and it was an adventure, and I'm sure I complained about it, but I just remember not having an apartment yet, but I had to start. And so for 2 weeks, I lived in one of those extended stay motel hotel things and ate peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for breakfast, lunch, and dinner and drank tap water. And I was like, I'm drinking tap water.
Although there, it's probably much better than any tap water you've ever had here. Yeah.
And I drink tap water all the time there. It was a culture shock, and actually learned very valuable lesson in this market. So then the biggest city around is Beckley, and that's where you went to the shopping mall. And I had this little dog, this little Chihuahua, shocking, right? And I took her to the mall with me, and we were walking around, and someone had made a comment about not having her down on the ground, or I don't know what it was, but I just smarted off like a little brat. And it turned out this woman was friends with the owner or the manager of the station, and it got back to them that I was like a little prissy brat or something. And I learned a lesson, like everyone's always watching and you can never burn a bridge. And I'm glad I learned it early in my career, but I was like, yeah, well, first of all, there was no reason for me to be snappy to a stranger. I probably was doing something wrong. And you just never know who's watching.
Yeah. So a small town like that, especially, everybody knows everybody.
Oh, yeah. But that's, again, why I say go to the small towns, make your mistakes there, and then come here. Because you can't do that in LA.
If you could go back to any of the three markets you were in prior to LA, Portland, Oregon, Palm Springs, or Oak Hill, West Virginia, where would you go back?
I've always said Palm Springs. I would love to live there, work there, retire there, but they don't pay enough money.
Yeah,
$30,000 salary? I mean, come on.
Yeah, it's one of those where it's like if you can get there and, you know, live below your means, because again, mm-hmm. it's still a small market as close yeah. as it is to LA. Same with Santa Barbara, same with Bakersfield and even Vegas. If you could just live below your means, tighten that belt, yeah. It's such a launching pad. I mean, you know that from experience. It's such a launching pad. You, Liberty Chan, Christina Pascucci, they're all from Palm Springs.
Yeah. It's a great market. I had to go to another market. I wasn't lucky enough to come straight here. I went to Portland, Oregon, and also learned a lot. Yeah. So valuable lessons. That's where I started getting to do like some real investigative journalism. I worked for an amazing woman, Lynn Hyder, the news director. I'll never forget. She was just so supportive of me. That's where I met Araxia Carpetian, who's on Fox 11 here in LA.
Who's now best friends with your dad, which is amazing.
Right. Well, it's one of those things where she was away from her family, and my dad was staying with me. He came to visit and didn't leave for like 5 months. it didn't bother me because he had his own room and he wasn't missing anything at home. He's retired. And they became close when I had to go to sleep to get up for the morning show. And she was still awake. She was on a different schedule. And anytime she would fly to LA and come back, he would go pick her up at the airport. So he became like her dad. So we were just like, and we shared a vacuum. We lived in the same building. I lived on the top floor, she on the bottom, and we shared my vacuum like 3 years.
I always try to make that next connection for the next podcast episode. So I'll need you to connect me. Now, I mean, we follow each other on Instagram and everything like that, but I think Araxia would be a great guest. She's got such a great story.
Yeah, she has an amazing story. And I just got she gave me a bottle of wine. I say she stole it, but her family owns a market. And this, I don't know the story to tell you, but you have to ask her about it because her uncle started this wine. And the story behind it is, I was just like, wow, that's so cool. So ask her about that whenever you interview the podcast.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Tell me about this relationship with your dad where you could, you know, as an adult, have him live in your space basically for 5 months. And not everybody has that type of relationship with their father.
I mean, don't get me wrong. We annoy each other, but you know, he's very accommodating. He knew that I was busy and working, and anything he could help out with, he would do. At the time, he would go walk my dog if I'd have to work late. And this is where he bonded with this dog and stole her from me. They
okay, now we've got the issues coming out.
They bonded so much that at that point, I could not take her away from him because it was mean. Like, Chihuahuas like have one person, and he became her person. I was very upset about that. But in the end, it all worked out. But, you know, he's simple. He just wants to be on his computer, watch his sports, go outside and walk the dog every few hours, you know.
What did he do for work? You said he mentioned he retired, but what did he do?
He's always been into computers somehow. He owned his own business a long time ago. He worked for the school district in Plano, Texas, North Dallas, where we grew up, and he would install the computer systems for schools. I mean, he could build a computer from nothing. Like, he was very, very into the nerdy world, I say.
Now, obviously, he was okay with, you know, up and moving his family from Orange County to Texas. How was he with the idea of you bouncing around the country trying to pursue your dream?
Very supportive. He's always been very supportive. I tell people the story I'll never forget is he would stay up with me in school, in high school. I had a project. I don't even remember what subject it was, but I didn't finish. I procrastinated. We stayed up all night. Like, I stayed up till midnight. I had to go to sleep. He finished the project for me. And when I woke up to go to school in the morning, it still wasn't done. And so he finished it and then brought it to school and lied to my teachers and said, oh, she left this in the car, because he was still finishing it.
Wow.
Like, he's always very supportive of me.
Now, I do have on the Zoom here, Miss Smith from your high school. No, I'm kidding. I don't have the capacity really to plan all of that. Could you imagine though? Be like, yes, here is that high school teacher you lied to, Casey. No.
Well, get in line. There's a lot of fun.
Well, now that's right, because you were a brat. You were a brat.
In this point, I was. And, you know, it's not like, I don't know where the entitlement came from. And that's the word I used to describe it, because my family's not wealthy. We were very poor at times. A couple of times my dad was out of work. And it was rough. So I don't know why I acted like that or expected things when I came from nothing. So where that came from, I don't know. But I did snap out of it. And now
I was going to say, you tapped into something that was there below the brightiness, because it takes there. So many people don't quite understand the grind necessary for somebody to be in LA and then say, you know what? I'll be back. And then 5 to 10 years later,
10 years.
Well, that's why I said 5 to 10. 10 years later, you come back.
Years.
But you did it though. Even though you're a self-admitted, you know, brat coming high school and college, like, but you're still able to reach down and say, you know what? I'm not this brat. I can actually work my ass off.
Well, yeah. And I had to, like, my parents couldn't pay for college. I had to pay for that myself. And it was hard. It was definitely a grind. So a lot of people I've seen in the market, you know, you have interns at different stations. Yep. Some of the people I've seen, I thought they were on the path. They got their first job, but they just couldn't cut it. And now they're not in the business anymore. Like, it's getting harder and harder to make this dream happen for people. The money at the top isn't necessarily worth it anymore. You know, when we were in school for this, some of these LA anchors were making $1 million. And so you saw the light at the end of the tunnel. That's not the reality anymore, but I do really love this business and love what I do. And now, you know, transitioning over to doing more weather, I get to show more of my personality and help the community. People see me. And so they know, oh, that's the girl that helps animals. Oh, that's the girl that does stories about X, Y, and Z. So then they give me story ideas and I can help someone. It's just, it's a perfect situation. Now, of course they could double my salary and it would be the absolute perfect situation, but it's really like, I don't think I could ask for much more right now.
And we should talk about the idea that, you know, you mentioned the interns or those cub journalists fresh out of college, and it is such a grind, and I don't think colleges enough prepare graduates for how much of a grind it is going to be. And it just, like you mentioned earlier, it hits them in the face. Reality just kind of slaps them in the face. And, you know, you have depression, you have burnout, you have such anxiety for a lot of people. How did you handle that aspect of it to where you could grind through it and you could come out of it?
I'm a workaholic. I always have been. And I'm a good multitasker. And I think as long as I have everything in my life scheduled and I have things to look forward to, as long as I don't have downtime, like, none of that ever affected me. So being married at the time to someone who still lived in Los Angeles, I was traveling back home a lot. So that took up my time. And it was always like the next step, like, what's the next step? So while I was in West Virginia the entire time, it's like, let's save this to make a demo tape to get my next job. So it's always what's next, what's next, what's next. So I don't think that stuff ever really affected me. I mean, I definitely believe, I know several alcoholics, people with depression, and I understand it's real disease. And I feel for those people. And I'm very understanding of that.
And you could probably understand, having gone through that, like, oh, I totally could get how at this point I could have taken that fork in the road.
100%. For people who I know who chose to do drugs or drink to deal with any of this, like, I get it. Like, you, I get it. Yeah. Thankfully, you know, that didn't happen to me, but, you know, it's life. Everyone takes a different path. And I think that just always wanting to, honestly, I really do think that always wanting to get to the next place, like, kind of gave, I kept that drive alive, and I just saw the end. I knew I want to be back in LA. I'm going to get back in LA. There's no other option. Like, that was it.
I was going to ask, was there a point at which you said, you know what, I'm this close to giving up on this dream, and I'm going to go back to LA, or I'm going to go back to Texas, and we'll just figure something out once I get there.
When I was in Portland, Oregon, I was a morning anchor. I was making really good money for that market, and I was getting overtime on top of my salary.
Oh, I miss overtime.
I know. And that's, you get a lot of overtime in this business.
Yeah.
So I was miserable after being there for 5 years, and I had tried to get a job back in LA, but this thing that's happened in LA is you come here as a freelancer. You don't come here with a contract. So unless you live here, it's hard to get hired. So there just reached a point where I was so miserable. And I thought, like, life is too short to be this unhappy. I quit my job. I was going through a divorce and I just came back to LA with nothing, like with no job, and thought, wow, I'm just going to wing it. And I'm going to try and see if someone will hire me. My agent sent me on interviews across the country. I think I counted 15 to 17 job interviews all over the country for months, and nobody would hire me. And finally, literally my last job interview was with Chris Knutson at KTLA. I was like, just done. I was staying with a friend and he was trying to encourage me not to give up. But he said at this point, he thought I was just like playing with house money because I just didn't care anymore. And I went to KTLA, dressed nicely. You know, I was happy to have the interview. Jason Ball never made it down. He was the news director at the time. He was in a meeting with a general manager. He never made it down to the interview. So I talked to Chris Knutson, and then she put me in with Tara, another manager, and Carrie Brace. And she was trying to buy time and he never came down. And I thought, oh, well, didn't get that one either. And sure enough, a freelancer quit and she called me the next day and she was like, can you start tomorrow? And I was like, what? Yes! So that's how that happened. And we still tease Jason Ball to this day.
I was going to say, you've got to just tease him so much for that.
It's crazy. You know, within a year they offered me a contract and then I started doing weather. It's just the way everything has happened. And who thought I would ever work at the same place for 8 years? I've been here for 8 years at this station. Like, I'm so grateful to work here. This is such an LA staple. And you still drive into that lot and you see the big tower every day and you're like, wow, like this is real.
You share that lot with Netflix and you just,
well, they from us.
they share it with you. That's what it is. Yeah. They've lent it to you. They let you borrow their parking garage.
Yeah, basically. But it's just crazy how life works out. I literally had started talking to my friend for the first time. Like, what am I going to do? Am I going to have to go work for a PR company? What am I going to do for work, for money?
Yeah. What's the backup? Yeah.
And I never found an answer. Like, I didn't know. Like, they're to me, like, this is it. This is my life. This is what I'm going to do. And yeah, you second guess yourself. And I guess if you want to say depression, like, I was down, like, in the dumps. And all I did was just go to yoga every day because I was like, what is this LA? Is this what everyone does all day? You just go to yoga and then go to lunch with your friends? And yeah, apparently it is.
I'm in between jobs. Yeah.
I didn't want that. I wanted to be working, I wanted to be busy. And thankfully, that last job interview, I mean, it was the way things all worked out. I mean, I could have been working in Philadelphia, New York.
Right.
I went on so many interviews.
One last push for Fixin' Fidos and the golf tournament. Where can people go to help the organization? And if they want to participate in the golf tournament or just help out, what can they do?
So fixinfidos.com, there's a whole banner at the top that says golf tournament. You can see all the event information, the location. If you're coming from far away, you can stay. We have a discounted rate on the hotel. Just want to come for the dog walk in the morning, buy a ticket to that. We're still looking for volunteers, so you can email me off of there, off of my website. And yeah, volunteer, you want to donate, become a sponsor. We still need tee sponsors. That's a funny thing. There's 18 holes and we only have like 3 tee sponsors. So we need some more tee sponsors. It's
what,
only two.
What does that get? Like if I sign up.
Name on a sign on a hole.
I get my name on a sign on a hole. Okay.
your logo and big thank you from me. And of course the tax receipt.
I don't know which one is more valuable, Casey.
I know, right?
You can watch this episode on YouTube and DBNA TV. Follow the Aaron Bender podcast on your favorite platforms and link to it at aaronbender.com. That's also where you can find all my social media. If you have guest ideas or comments, email me, aaronbendermedia@gmail.com. Be well, and thanks for listening.